Hi, this is Harold J. Johnson of SomethingThatHappened.com, and this is the second in a series of interviews for LQ Radio at the Scale 3X Southern California Linux Expo in Los Angeles on February 12th, 2005. This interview is with Linux Chicks LA.
Sharon, you just gave me an idea here. So maybe someone should actually come up with a campaign like they did with Firefox, raise some funds, and, you know, start just getting the information out there to people to tell them that the total cost of ownership is lower, in fact, you know, indeed lower than what Microsoft is telling you.
Actually, some of the cities are doing that. Munich now is switching over to completely a Linux desktop server environment, and I think their target date is now 2010. They did a TCO, and their entire city is switching over to Linux because of that. They've run into a few bumps, but they're still switching. They've got Key Largo in Florida switched over like 4 years ago, and there have been a couple of things that they went. So they're there. It's just a little bit harder to get that word out because it's still going to involve, for an office that's MS-centric, it's still going to involve some kind of a change in their personnel or their training procedures, and that's a little bit more disruptive than a lot of, especially smaller companies, are willing to put in.
Right.
So the earlier you get somebody on a Linux box, the longer they're going to stay there.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. That's interesting. And I've been reading a lot about Brazil, the Brazilian government adopting Linux, and it seems the United States is really, or Microsoft is really worried about that and pushing to get them not to, because maybe, what do you think they're worried about? You think maybe they will use that as a model? Like a lot of other countries will see that. If it works in Brazil, they'll adopt that as a model, and then it'll be like proof that the total cost of ownership is less.
Well, in countries other than the U.S., another issue is that Microsoft is a U.S. company, and they don't want to continue sending those dollars into a U.S. company. If they're developing Linux, especially Brazil, they can develop software in-house.
Mm-hmm.
They can actually develop their own software programming environment that they can start working and keeping those dollars in their country. And I think that's where, like Brazil, China, certainly, that's where they came out with their Red Linux. You know, they're not Red Hat, it's Red something Linux, you know. And again, Taiwan is doing the same thing as is Thailand. So they're all developing that because they can base an operating system on in-house dollars as opposed to sending that out as an export.
It'll be interesting to see how things turn out this next couple of years.
It's actually going to be very exciting the next couple of years.
Oh yeah,
very
oh yeah.
Exciting.
I'm excited about it right now, and I feel like I'm late to the game or late to the whole thing. You know, just
good crest. You're coming right on the crest. Actually, it's really exciting because Firefox,
but I want to be ahead of the crest.
Well, Firefox is one of the real exciting things because Firefox is like fighting, and finally, with all of the spyware and malware and stuff that comes in through Internet Explorer, with CERT saying, "Look, we recommend that you don't use Internet Explorer. Switch," because they can't fix that ActiveX issues that they're going on. That Firefox is now 10% of the users that are hitting Netcraft.
That's,
it used to be 2%. Within the past year and a half, it has jumped to 10%. That's a huge jump within only a year and a half for an open source project.
That's,
Firefox, OpenOffice.org, those are like the two like open source flagships, and Linux is like coming right in behind those.
Well, the nice thing with things like Firefox is that at least the Windows users are starting to get a taste of open source.
Exactly.
Because everybody that I know at this point, I've been pushing Firefox and Mozilla on people since it came out. I'm like, use it. Microsoft stuff sucks. It's going to kill your computer. And finally, people are catching on. But the vast majority of the people that I know at this point who were clinging to Internet Explorer because it was their Windows thing and they knew it are starting to get this taste of, wow, there's this other thing and it works better and it's functional. It doesn't crash my computer. Wait, are there other things like this out there? And so people are slowly getting a taste of it, and it's migrating its way through the user groups as opposed to the corporations, and that's going to be the biggest change, is getting the end users to start using Linux or to start using even just open source stuff within Windows. That's where you're going to get the core change.
That's where Firefox is important. That's also where OpenOffice.org is so important.
Right.
The licensing for like the Microsoft suite is like really, really expensive, you know, really expensive. And if OpenOffice.org really does everything I've ever needed Microsoft Office Suite to do. And that's, again, that's an open source, open standards project, which can actually act as a replacement or supplement, you know? And that, when people aren't willing to actually go completely desktop, as long as I can start saying, well, Firefox, OpenOffice.org, save yourself some money, see that open source won't bite you, that it won't hurt you, that your kneecap won't be ripped off in the middle of the night or something like that.
I know a lot of people.
And then it's kind of easier to start talking and doing with other aspects of open source, like Linux.
Yeah.
distro did you use?
Zandros. I had never heard of it.
Yeah, very easy desktop. Very easy desktop. Yeah, that's one of the very first intros that that people do use, that or Mandrake.
Right. I found it was so easy to install.
Well, and the other nice thing about the desktop stuff is that you're not in a totally new environment. If you're used to using Windows particularly, it's not like you're walking into something that's completely foreign. You can run it. We've got Nopix running over here, and it's very similar. It's got similar menus. It's the interface looks a lot the same, to the point where you're not walking into something that's going to scare you.
I'm loving OpenOffice. I've been using this now quite a bit. It's just so much fun, and you don't have that annoying little paper clip showing up and showing you what to do either.
I hate that thing. That's like the most obnoxious invention ever.
Yeah, you don't have that. So.
I had one big explosion of a paper clip, and someone actually taped to my computer's a Windows machine this twisted, gnarly paper clip saying, "I hate paper clip guy," and pasted it to the front of my monitor because they were just like, "I know you hate paper clip guy."
He's so annoying, and he seemed to always stop up the computer, even on the Mac, especially on the Mac with classic Mac, when before OS X, that the little paper clip was a bugger. You couldn't get rid of him. Well, you could, but you couldn't get...
Well, and then they kept popping back up again. Yeah. It did make it go away, because they won't want you to make it go away.
Right.
But of course, you know, and it's that because everybody who uses Windows is an idiot, or so Microsoft thinks, which is one of the other nice things about getting into Linux, is that you're not being treated like you're an idiot. You're not being condescended to by your operating system.
Right. I get that feeling, too. You know,
yes,
they want you to...
Especially with, like, XP, with the really cartoony effect to everything. Uh-huh. Everything is brightly colored in cartoons, and it's just like...
Yeah, that annoys me, too.
You know, I feel like I'm being condescended to by my computer, so no, this is not going to work.
Yeah, yeah. And at this point, you just brought to mind, at this point, my dad doesn't have a computer yet. He's been talking about it for years. And a couple years ago, I would have said, oh, yeah, get yourself Windows. Even though I was a Mac user, I said, well, because Windows was so much easier.
Right.
Now, at this point, though, after my recent experience with Windows, I'm like, you know what? I don't know. I'm almost at the point where I would recommend Linux. I would say Mac, but if I'm trying to save him some money, I would almost go with like, for my experience, Zandros or something that would be easy for him. Because he wouldn't have to deal with all the spyware. He wouldn't have to deal with what you're talking about.
Well, I mean, I still use Windows mostly because when I injured my hand, I can't type, so I have to have a voice software to talk to my computer, and there isn't something that's supported by that for Linux yet, which is kind of frustrating.
Yeah.
I really wish they'd fix that. But so I'm still using Windows, but I'm using Windows 2000, and I've got my machine so locked down, but I had to. I mean, I've got 3 different antivirus stuff running all the time. I've got a personal firewall running on top of a firewall that's running off my router. I've got, you know, 3 different spyware things that I've got constantly running, and I'm using Firefox, which is locked down as well, and I still get stuff slipping through it. It's kind of like, you know, this is ridiculous. I've worked in IT. I know how to run a network. I know how to protect it, but I can't because of the software.
Your organization, or how you got started as Linux Chicks.
Okay. Well, this is actually an international organization. It started, I don't know, something almost 10 years ago. It's international-based. It communicates primarily through the mailing list. There's a couple of very important mailing lists, one called New Chicks, which are directed for those new to Linux. There's a Tech Talk one. There's a kernel patching one. It's a... It was a way for women to kind of participate in, like, this burgeoning Linux community that... A little bit intimidating for women if you weren't used to, like, the rough and tumble world of the Linux kernel mailing list.
You can attest to that.
Yes, because I've never used it. So.
Yeah.
We're still kind of arguing over which operating system we're going to end up with.
The Linux Chicks LA started because, as an LA chapter, I guess about 3 years ago, primarily just as a chapter, just as a way of getting the LA women community involved in a comfortable way in the Linux community. We pretty much focus on newcomers to Linux. We're not gender exclusive, but we, especially for women, we want to make sure that they understand that there's a group in which they can bring a Linux question where they are not the only woman. You know, a comfortable place in which to explore technology, which will increase their chances for kind of a productive IT life, if that's what they choose.
Well, it's also really nice to have Linux Chicks, because there's a couple of other large international organizations for women in technology. Web Girls, which was bigger a few years ago and sort of self-destructed, we'll say, when they decided to change CEOs and the whole management structure failed. But there's been a subsequent group pop up called Digital Eve, which is also wonderful, but everything's all Windows-based. Everybody uses Windows, and that's because that's the main IT thing. And so having Linux Chicks where you can get the other side of it is really great, just to get the more information on the thing that not everybody's talking about.
Right.
Not yet, anyway.
Right.
We're working on that.
Yeah, it's definitely a unique perspective. And also, it's you're on the cusp of what is the future. I mean, what is what has been the past, but people who haven't known,
right.
The mainstream, that is. But it's good to be ahead.
That women are included in that future, which is coming for Linux, which I absolutely, firmly, and completely believe in. You know, and I don't want anyone to be left behind if they don't choose to, but especially women, because they don't want to be the only woman in say a user group, which is, that was my first experience, and it can be quite daunting,
right?
You know,
yeah.
So
walk into a room and you're the only woman
there,
surrounded by men, and you're kind of going, okay, well, I'm just going to stand here in the corner and not talk, because and nobody's going to talk to you because you're female, and therefore of course you don't know anywhere near as much about computers as everyone else does, and so they're just going to stand there and talk over your heads, or so they think. And
yeah, this morning I was talking to my girlfriend, and she's like, she wanted to come here, actually. She was saying, are we going to go? She's been bugging me all week. And I said, can we really afford to do this right now? And finally we decided this morning, it wasn't raining, but honey, there's going to be probably a lot of guys, because I've been to just a few of these things, and it's probably just going to be a whole bunch of guys, and I don't know why that... She's like, I don't care. It's like, you know, this is. I'm not going to pick up. And, but I wasn't saying that to be a condescending anyway. I was just saying because it can be intimidating.
It is intimidating. And,
you know, because I have noticed that a lot of these conventions are. I've only been to a few, but they're like very much.
Yeah, look at the proportion here.
Right.
And
I haven't even really looked at
it.
Yeah.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Women in the general vicinity that you can actually
see. Are you serious?
Seriously. Yeah, look around.
And this is more than they had, even at the last scale. So
well, let's not let everyone think that this is, five women amongst a crowd of thousands.
No, but
this isn't.
Not another 100 men.
Yeah, there's 100, maybe a couple. I can't.
5 or 6 women. And
yeah, so proportionally it's much smaller.
And that's one thing we're actually trying actively to try to correct. We want more women here. We want more women participating in the IT dollars which are coming down on top of Linux.
I think that's extremely important, because the gender divide, don't need it. Don't need it anymore.
No.
I made it a point actually to come and talk to you today, because I noticed that your group was on the list, and I thought it was important to do that.
Well, it is, and it's nice to actually get women to sort of just kind of get the feel of it, if nothing else, because especially the current generation that's sort of the 18 to 25, 18 to 30, they were taught not to use computers in school when they were kids. They were told that computers are for the boys because they're math and you don't do that.
Right.
I know I was. And both of my parents actually used to work at Microsoft when I was a kid, so nobody does that anymore. But so I got introduced fairly young to computers. I mean, I've been doing this since I was 5. I've been working with computers, and so I'm used to it. But I looked around, and even at school, knowing what I knew about computers, knowing how to build them, how to use them, I still got my teacher saying, well, the computers are for the boys. You go sit in art class. And it's kind of like, okay, wait. I'm sorry, what? You want me to go do what with my time? So it's really hard with that age group in particular who had that, because now they're starting to actually teach technology a little bit more toward women in school. But, if you're if you graduated from high school 10 years ago, you didn't get that.
That was me. I remember. It was just the boys in the computer
exactly.
room.
Exactly. And so it's trying to get that
not
in particular... Yeah, there's that big gap there for a lot of women, that they were just told that computers weren't what they were supposed to be doing.
I've noticed that's changing quite a bit, though. I totally agree with what you're saying, because it is. It's changing quite a bit.
It's wonderful, because there's so much of that, in particular when computers were still thought of as math. And so it was boys did math and girls did language, and so the girls didn't do the computers because, they were math, and so that was what the boys did. And I'm actually working on a book project at the moment with my mother that we're co-writing. I'm trying to get younger girls involved in technology, but trying to take it from that perspective. Because that's what got with me with computers was my mom looked at me one day and said, so why don't you like the computer? Because I was kind of hiding from them. I was about 8, and she's like, what's your problem? I'm like, well, everybody says they're math. And she's like, no, they're not. They're languages. Yes, they use ones and zeros, but... you don't ever touch that side of it. You write in words. There's language involved in this.
Right.
And after that, I was dived headfirst in, and been there ever since. So
you found out everyone was just BSing you.
Smoke, basically.
Yeah. Trying to make it seem harder or more obscure than it really was,
exactly.
Maybe.
Exactly, which is just ridiculous.
Which a lot of boys do.
Oh, absolutely.
It's true. A lot of boys go, oh, this is too hard.
What is NOPX or NOPX?
NOPX? It's a version of Linux. It's actually what we're running on the system over here that runs off of a live CD.
Mm-hmm.
So it's an entire Linux environment that you can just basically pop into, especially if you don't want to commit to Linux yet, you want to just try it out. pop the CD in, boot the computer up. Even if you're running Windows, because this machine's running is a Windows 98-based machine, it just runs the entire Linux environment until you pop the CD out, and then you're back into Windows or whatever you want to be running.
So it's a Linux distribution that completely runs off the CD.
Yeah.
No, you don't even
You don't need to do anything more than put a CD in a CD drive.
What
and
about
running Linux?
Can you do this? You can do this on your Windows machine. Can you do it on a Mac?
Sharon. Sharon. I'm not terribly familiar with how with that. Nopix work on a Mac.
No, and that's because of the chip. They do have a lot of CDs that are a Mac. I don't know that much about them, but they are possible to get. It's mostly working through the Intel chipset that Nopix uses. It's the chipset you got to worry about compatibility.
But it'll work on a Celeron or
It'll work on an AMD. It'll work on an Intel. It's instructions itself. It won't work on a PowerPC, which is a Mac.
I want to try this sometime.
Yeah. It's not big as an amazing tool. It's one of the things that we do say, you can touch it. It won't hurt you. It won't bite you.
Is Nopix the distribution that allows you to create like a live website? Like say you want to demonstrate a website to someone.
That's Lampix, actually.
Lampix, okay. Yeah, see, I'm very new to this.
Lampix.
Lampix, right.
It's essentially, it's Nopix mastered with the complete LAMP environment. So you've
to try this.
You've got Apache, MySQL, PHP, Perl, pretty much all done. Running on server.
I'm getting chills because I'm thinking, because I like creating websites.
Somebody who has never done a website and stuff, like for me.
Right, you're thinking of doing a website.
Yeah.
You can create a website, put it on the CD, distribute it, give it to anybody, and they can just fire it up on any PC.
Exactly. A lot of web developers use this one. One, they use it for two uses. They use this as their development model. They keep their files on like a USB keychain or a floppy or some other removable media, so they can go from computer to computer to computer, and they have a LAMP environment in which they can develop under. They also use it as a business card. You can actually master this down into one of the small business card models. Mm-hmm. And you say, oh, here's my business card. They put it in, they boot it up, and it immediately goes into your homepage where you can list out the sites that you've done. And you've got the PHP, you've got the server running there.
PHP amazing. And everything on
yeah, there. Yeah, yeah, it's an amazing thing. They actually have this running over at the lampsig.org booth, which is over there in the corner. They actually have this running on a laptop over there, so you can actually see the environment. We have Nopix working here, and they have Lampix running over there.
Well, we'll definitely have to check that out.
Yeah.
I want to do the business card thing. That sounds
it's
exciting.
It's very cool.
Because I have an internet radio station. I could see setting up a flash or something. Or maybe not flash. I'm not in flash yet, but maybe using some of the backcoding the PHP or something.
Yeah.
I don't know. Just
that's
to create something live.
That's pretty much what that's for. It's like you stick it on the CD and you stick it in and it's like there.
And people don't have to worry about it screwing up their settings and stuff because it's running right off the CD.
Exactly.
I love that idea.
Exactly.
That is so awesome.
Nopix is a powerful, powerful, powerful tool and all of the variants.
So, okay. So, how can we find out more about your organization for my listeners?
Linux Chicks LA is at linuxchicksla.org. The main international group where all the mailing lists are is linuxchicks.org.
Okay.
And linuxchicks.org, that's where our mailing list is fairly small. It's mostly to coordinate our meetings. The next meeting is like on the 28th of February, and we're actually starting a study group for Linux administration, basic Linux administration, focused toward the level one certification from the Linux Professional Institute.
Well, that's great. So people coming to the meetings, they'll start...
It's actually a study group. We're actually considering it like more as a study group as opposed to a meeting, since there's so many user meetings. We really are focusing toward teaching as opposed to like presenting.
Well, this is great. Okay, well, ladies, what my name's Harold.
Yes.
Who was I speaking to?
I'm Sharon.
Sharon and...
Brenna.
And Brenna.
Yes.
You can find out more about the Los Angeles Area Linux Chicks chapter at linuxchicksla.org. That's Linux Chicks, CHIXLA.org. This concludes the second in a series of interviews for LQ Radio at radio.linuxquestions.org. My name is Harold J. Johnson. You can find out more about my narrative podcasts at somethingthathappened.com.